Today is February 17th, 2021, Ash Wednesday, the beginning of the season of Lent. We usually gather at the church for a service at noon, followed by a light lunch. But due to the coronavirus, we do not worship together in person at the church, but offer this recorded service. And I welcome you to this time of worship. Lent arrives, and we are looking for direction. Our fragmented lives and self-concern pull at our intentions, unsettling our faith and diluting our commitment. We want to change. Where do we begin? We look to Jesus, how he lived and loved, what he said to his followers called the way. May this Lent be different as we examine ourselves, our faith, our hope, as we are guided in the way of Lent and life. Please pray with me. Loving God, on this Ash Wednesday, we come in repentance and sorrow for all our offenses against you and others. As we dare to worship you, we seek your forgiveness, that our sins may be removed and our spirits made clean and whole. Purify us and enable us to walk in joy and gladness once again. All of this we ask in the name of the one who came to deliver us from sin and death, Jesus the Christ. Amen. I invite you to now listen and or join in singing the hymn, Oh, How I Love Jesus.
There is a name I love to hear, I love to sing its word. It sounds like music in my ear, the sweetest name on earth. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because he first loved me.
He tells me of a Savior's love who died to set me free. He tells me of his precious blood, the sin is perfectly.
Scripture comes from the Old Testament prophet Joel, chapter 2, verses 12 through 19. Even now, declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting and weeping and mourning. Rend your heart and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and abounding in love, and he relents from sending calamity. Who knows? He may turn and relent and leave behind a blessing, grain offerings and drink offerings for the Lord your God. Blow the trumpet in Zion. Declare a holy fast. Call a sacred assembly. Gather the people. Consecrate the assembly. Bring together the elders. Gather the children, those nursing at the breast. Let the bridegroom leave his room and the bride her chamber. Let the priests who minister before the Lord weep between the portico and the altar. Let them say, spare your people, Lord. Do not make your inheritance an object of scorn, a byword among the nations. Why should they say among the peoples, where is their God? Then the Lord was jealous for his land and took pity on his people. The Lord replied to them, I am sending you grain, new wine, and olive oil, enough to satisfy you fully. Never again will I make you an object of scorn to the nations. May God bless the reading, hearing, and understanding of God's holy word today. Let's pray together. Holy God, we do praise and glorify you. We rejoice in all the ways that you provide for us and sustain us. Open our hearts and our minds to your word and fill us with your spirit. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. It has been 11 months since we have worshiped together in person at the church due to the coronavirus pandemic. Thankfully, in that time, we have been able to maintain the buildings and grounds, and we hope to return to in-person worship later this year. And in the meantime, we can continue to provide these recorded services. But suppose for a moment the pandemic continued, or some other catastrophe occurred, and no one returned to the church for another 4 years. Not a single person set foot on the property until Ash Wednesday, 2025. In our imagining, when we do return, what would our church look like after 4+ years of no upkeep? The grass would be waist high, with litter encased along the edges. The parking lot and driveway might have a huge potholes and frost heaves. The mailbox would be so full of letters and bills that the letter carrier stopped trying to fill it ages ago. And because none of those bills had been paid, the electricity and gas would have been turned off, and the entire property would be dark and cold. In short, there'd be a lot of cleaning up to do. That gives you a good idea of the state of the temple in Jerusalem when the prophet Joel was young. Centuries of misuse and disuse had caused Solomon's once magnificent structure to look more like a building in the slums than in the upscale section of Jerusalem. But then there was a turnaround. In the book of Chronicles, we read about how this dilapidated building was cleaned up and refurbished. And after this remodeling took place, the offerings and sacrifices were restored, and temple life returned to normal. Well, almost normal. Joel wrote the words of today's scripture because there was still a problem. The turnaround was not complete. Everything looked good on the outside, but there really hadn't been much of an internal change with the people. God was not looking for an outer change as much as he was looking for an inner one. It's the same for us as we worship on this Ash Wednesday. God is looking for repentance from you and from me, a change, a turnaround. He doesn't just want us to say all the right words while we're worshiping together, and he is not interested in giving us an assignment list of duties to work on in the coming days and weeks. Outward actions are nice, but if there is no inward change, it's really all for nothing. That neglected building that I spoke about a minute ago, that church that no one took care of for 4+ years, is each of us. If we were to take an honest look at our lives, what would we see? More good or more bad? Or think of it this way. Can we say that during this past year, with all the changes to our normal way of living, we have been more interested in the things of God or of the things of this world? In just this past week, can we each honestly say that the Lord has always taken first place in our heart, Or has he sort of slipped through the cracks as other priorities crowded God out? Perhaps it is the ongoing pandemic with new variants and a vaccine rollout that has had some glitches. Or our means of income, whether we have a job, lost it due to the pandemic, or living on a limited retirement income. Maybe it's the television or computer. Maybe it's simply personal or family time. We are good at scheduling things that bring us happiness and making sure that we keep those appointments. But have we been so busy taking care of the other matters of our life to the neglect of the church inside each of us? Is that building strong, well-kept, and beautiful? Or do we see instances where we have let the lawn become overgrown? When we saw that repairs to the structure needed to be made, but we put it off until later. Sometimes we lock the doors of our hearts and just expect that our faith will remain intact, and so we can take a little vacation from working hard on our Christian lives. And when we come back, we expect that everything will be fine. Today's scripture speaks to people who have not been the most faithful followers of the Lord. It's Ash Wednesday. It's a perfect day to do some house cleaning in our hearts. The Lord has a one-word instruction for us. The sixth word of today's scripture text. Return. If we've been away from the Lord for a while, or if we haven't followed him as vigorously as we know we should, God is holding out an invitation to us. Return. I want you back. As we look further in today's passage, God tells us how he wants us to return to him. The Lord says to us, rend your heart and not your garments. Back in biblical times, if you were really upset over something, you would tear your clothes as a sign of sadness. But many of the people played a little game with God. When they were confronted with their sin by God's priests and prophets, they would tear their clothes. They would put ashes on their heads. They'd do everything that made them look sad. And then they would go back and do the same sins again. God tells us, rend your heart and not your garments. These outward things that we are doing today, praying to God and confessing our sins, they're all nice things to do, but they mean absolutely nothing if we are playing the crying game with God, telling him right now how sorry we are, and as soon as we click off this service, we return to the same worldly life we have been leading. The Lord helps us get into the proper mindset when he says, return to me with all your heart. This is a total commitment. When a husband and wife get married, they commit their lives totally to each other. Could you imagine at your wedding having your spouse promise to be faithful to you on every day except Thursdays? Thursday is just the one day where the dedication is off. A partial faithfulness is really no faithfulness. When God invites us to return to him, he wants it all. He wants our whole life from us. Just one or two days is not a commitment. The Lord wishes us to serve him 7 days a week. That is returning to the Lord with all your heart. But someone might say, I don't have a need to return to God. I'm not that bad. Or another might say, I don't have time to commit myself totally to God. These excuses really don't fly with God. He tells us of the universal need for all to repent. Bring together the elders, gather the children, those nursing at the breast. Let the bridegroom leave his room and the bride her chamber. Let the priests who minister before the Lord weep between the temple porch and the altar. God includes everyone here when he proclaims the universal need for repentance. God considers this more important than anything else. This repentance, it has to start in the heart. It has to be a total commitment of the heart to God, and there should be true sorrow attached. Return to me with all your heart, with fasting and weeping and mourning. There was a recent vehicle accident where a woman who was driving drunk flipped her SUV and killed her teenage daughter, who was a passenger. How do you think that woman has been feeling these past few days? I'm sure an hour has not gone by where she wished she could have that moment back. There has to be an incredible amount of weeping being done by that mother over her actions. That's how God wants us to feel about our sins. When we sin, we hurt God even more than that mom hurt her daughter. It is good for us to think on our sins today so that we realize how much we cause God pain by our actions. Even on Ash Wednesday, as we stress the desperate need that we have for repentance, there is a silver lining in all this. We see it in the first two words of today's scripture. Even now. There is time for us to come back to God. Even now, with our rebellious past, somehow the Lord still wants us. We talk about doing spiritual house cleaning today on Ash Wednesday, having genuine from the heart repentance. And God does something awesome when we come to him on his terms. The sinner repents. And the Lord relents. Listen to verse 13 of today's scripture. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and abounding in love, and he relents from sending calamity. Imagine being that mother, arrested for drunk driving, hopelessly guilty. And as you wait in court to be sentenced for your crime, the judge says, I find you innocent on all counts. That sounds impossible. It sounds too good to be true. Because we know we are sinners. We can think of all the wrong things we have done throughout our lives. But that's exactly why we worship today. Because our God is a God who relents. He's the judge who does not sentence us to our punishment. God can afford to declare us innocent, letting us off the hook for our sins because he placed Jesus on the cross. This may help to explain why we love Jesus so much, because he gave every bit of himself to us. I know that we all know this already, but can we make our deliverance from sin and our salvation more meaningful? A popular thing to do during Lent is to give up something that we enjoy. There are wrong ways to observe this custom. For example, considering ourselves to be more spiritual than someone who isn't giving up something for Lent. Supposing that the act of giving up something puts us in better standing with God. But there are proper ways of going about that custom. if it helps us to remember that Jesus gave up everything for us, so out of thanks, we are going to give up something that we love for him. In that sense, it's an offering of sorts. But avoiding chocolate or not watching our favorite TV show for a month and a half isn't going to make us more spiritual unless we fill that void with the Word of God in prayer and meditation. And that is the key. Jesus has given us everything. Our sins are all forgiven. We have a home waiting for us in heaven. There really is not anything more important and valuable than that. God does not command that we give up something for Lent. But if we choose to do that today, here is a way so that will be a spiritual benefit to us. Think of a thing or things that you really enjoy doing. Maybe it's eating a particular food or drinking a certain beverage. Maybe it's an activity like shopping or exercising or playing video games. Maybe it's staring at the television or a computer screen for hours on end. If you choose today to give something up for Jesus, then be sure to replace it with prayer and Bible reading. Maybe instead of spending 2 hours watching a basketball game, you go into your room and read through some of the Gospel of John, slowly, digesting every word, considering how God is talking to you, praying that the Lord speaks to you and makes you a better Christian. Today's scripture from Joel ends with these words. I am sending you grain, new wine and oil, enough to satisfy you fully. We repent. God relents. And when we go and read in his scriptures, God opens his storehouse of spiritual treasures to us and gives us gift after gift. The Lord wants to replace the trivial things in our lives with real gifts. Gifts like a place in our hearts that can deal with any problem. A greater willingness and ability to serve Jesus in our lives. And when we have these spiritual treasures, we aren't going to miss the trinkets of the world so much, because God has a way of replacing them with something far more satisfying. So today, let's get rid of the clutter. Our Christian lives resemble a building that needs some upkeep, and Lent is the time to get to work. The Lord wants us to turn to him. He will give us the power to do just that. He will point us to his son Jesus and remind us that though this life is a struggle, Jesus won the ultimate struggle for us. He has fixed us up and made us that glistening, beautiful building in which we will dwell forever. God has made us into a building like that, and now with the Spirit's help, strive to keep that building kept up. Don't be satisfied with mere cosmetic improvements, but beg the Lord to change your heart, to make you a more repentant, more useful servant in God's kingdom. Amen. And let's listen to the solo sung by Richard Freeman, Search Me, O God.
Search me, O God, and know my heart today. Try me, O Savior, know my
Holy God, we come this day in humility before you, repenting of our sins. In these moments, we silently lift to you the sins and the burdens we have carried far too long. Let us pray in silence. Thank you, Lord, for hearing our confessions. We are truly sorry for these thoughts, words, and actions that have separated us from you. We give you thanks and praise for the gift of your word and for its power to encourage, comfort, convict, and transform. We hear the word and are keenly aware of our inability to follow it in either letter or spirit. We need a merciful high priest who sees us as we are, not as we often portray ourselves to be. And you have given him to us in the person of your Son, Jesus. We thank you that he understands our weakness, sympathizes with the brokenness of our human condition, and reaches out to us in love, compassion, and grace. It is because of Jesus' life, lived without sin, and his sacrifice on the cross, that we come to you with confidence, knowing that you listen to our confessions with tenderness and concern. We pray in the name of Jesus for your forgiveness. Cleanse us, make us whole, and welcome us home. Amen. And I invite you now to listen and or sing the hymn softly and tenderly, Jesus is Calling.
Thank you.
as we conclude this time of worship. May God, who went before his people by night as a pillar of fire, light our path so that we may not stumble. May Jesus the Christ, who walks with us by day and night, always steady our steps and lead us at last to our eternal home. Amen. Thank you.